You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There sure have been plenty of Americans winning gold at the Rio Olympics. And each gold medal win by a Yank means that you'll hear the Star-Spangled Banner during the medal ceremony. So some are noticing there's just something off about the anthem. But what is it? One of those who is annoyed and can tell us what it is Jason DeBord. He's on the faculty of the University of Michigan School of Music, Theater, and Dance in the Department of Musical Theater, and he is a long, long-time veteran of Broadway musicals. Jason, we want you to walk us through, if you can, about why the national anthem sounds somehow different. You brought us some samples?
Yeah, and let me clarify that this is my version of them. This is me playing through the songs.
Okay.
So it's a very realistic simulation, let's say.
Okay. So let's hear what we're used to hearing.
Okay. What I'm playing here is what's commonly called the service version, meaning that this is what's used, you know, by the Army, the Navy, in any kind of a ceremonial setting.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's a little different than Karen Newman singing at Joe Louis Arena at the Red Wing game.
But... exactly. Well,
but, yeah.
And people take liberties with the anthem. You know, it happens all the time. You know, when we hear people interpret it differently at games, any kind of sporting event, concerts, in the concert setting, people interpret this piece of music all the time.
Mm-hmm. Because we certainly know from Mark Clegg, having been in here, your colleague from U of M, it has been through many permutations in its life.
It certainly has, and he is the expert.
All right, so that's the service version that we all know in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
Now, let's have you walk us through what we're hearing in Rio so you can help us understand why does it sound so different.
Okay. First of all, it's in a higher key. Now listen here. Here we go again. There it is again. Now we're coming up to the rocket's red glare. Now here comes Gave Proof. They changed the melody there. We'll talk about
You're
that.
You're wincing.
Here we go. Did you hear it under free?
Yeah. What is it?
Yeah. Well, what it is a substitution. Normally, we go to, if you listen to the service version, we go to what's called the tonic or the one chord, which is a very sonoric or grounded feeling.
Yes.
Okay. This is a substitution to a minor chord, which is the sixth degree of the scale. Which, without getting into, basically, it introduces an ambiguity. Some people have said sad. I feel like that's an overgeneralization, saying, "Oh, minor, it's sad." It introduces a different feeling. It brings a different feeling out when you listen to it, and it happens over and over. It's not that it happens once; it happens over and over and over and over and over again throughout this specific arrangement.
Yes. Yeah, so, in a sense, because I had noticed it, and then I saw a story. It was actually David Siegel's story in the New York Times, picked up on your Facebook post, because you must have been hearing it enough where it bugged you to say, hey, anyone else hate this or not like this?
it's the third time through for this version in the Olympics, because this showed up in the London version of the Olympics. My wife forced me on the London Olympics. She said, what is going on? And she paused it and had me listen. And I said, oh, well, they're going to the six minor chord. And I played it for her. And she said, does it bother you as much as it does me? And I said, absolutely it does. and so it's been going on for a while. And it appears as though, I'm not sure, this may be the version that they've decided to stick with in the long run. Mm-mm-mm. So I'm not a fan, you know.
Why is it you're not a fan?
Here's the thing. I'm not a purist. I love interpretation of music. I'm an arranger. I love a fresh take. Igor Stravinsky did a beautiful arrangement of the national anthem in, I want to say it was 1944. It's a fantastic reimagining of the harmonization of the anthem. I'm not against a fresh take or a sideways take at a piece of music, but it's the setting. Context is everything, right? And this is supposed to be a moment when we're celebrating athletes, we're celebrating achievement, we're celebrating
power.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter whatever the country is that's won. I'm not saying this needs to be about America being greater than any other country. It's just a moment of triumph. It's a moment of joy. And instead, someone chose to introduce ambiguity.
Take the air out of it a little bit.
And just steal someone's special moment. Let them be proud. Let them be happy. What's wrong with that? And so that's why it bugs me, is because context is everything to me.
And I noticed you kind of flinched and you were like, I want to talk about that. They actually kind of changed something up.
Yeah, they put something up an octave. I mean, this is really, I'm getting down to little details, but gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. They go, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
Oh, okay.
They go up, and instead of setting up the end of the song, they kind of steal the fire from the end of the song by putting on the in the trumpet line and then having it go up the octave. So,
it's funny because we get accustomed to hearing, as you say, the context or hearing songs done a certain way, constructed a certain way. And I'll share an experience. I was recently at a Catholic Mass. And everything was jazz, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, during the entire 60-some minutes, everything done with the jazz chord progressions on the piano in this jazz tempo, it just made me want to crawl the wall. It made me feel like I should be at Baker's Keyboard Lounge having a 7-7, not at a mass. And it so did not work for me.
Yeah.
Is that what it's like? Wait, the power of music to make us feel one way or the other.
Well, you know, it's funny because in this setting, the music's almost ritualistic, just like it's ritualistic in the setting of a liturgy, right? So this is a ritual too.
Yeah.
It's an award ceremony. It's a ceremony. So some of us don't want to stick with ceremony. Some of us don't want to stick with tradition, and we want to hear it shaken up all the time. And some of us find comfort in ritual and mm-hmm. tradition. So I think that's what I can say is that this has struck a nerve.
Tell me the reaction.
Oh, my gosh. I've gotten emails from people both irritated and thrilled about the article that the New York Times wrote when they picked up on my Facebook post. And the comment section of the time is extensive, let's say.
Extensive, shall we say. Debating.
Yes.
Everything
in
this nation today is a debate, one way or the other.
But
what would you like to say to the IOC in advance of coming up in South Korea, the 2018 Winter Olympics?
Oh, I'd like to say revisit every anthem. You know, it seems as though they may have said, well, this is going to be the definitive version for every Olympic game from here on in because we don't want to – I don't know if it's a financial thing that they don't want to pay to record it or if it's just too much of a bureaucratic maze. But I would encourage them to maybe consult with the countries individually and offer their input. And so they can get a definitive version that makes people happy, that makes the people in the country of the winners happy with what they're hearing.
Maybe they want to get some tears from winners standing on the podium.
You know, there's worse things in this world.
That's true. Jason DeVore, I'm the faculty of the Department of Musical Theater at the University of Michigan and not a fan of the arrangement of the Star Spangled Banner that we are hearing at the Olympics. Jason, such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Pleasure was mine. Thank you.
You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio.